With all that is almost within us, we want to go against what this song, next song, is trying to say. Because of our human nature, it's really hard to lay ourselves down for what God wants, right? And our world is contrary to that. The world is constantly telling us, you should be happy. You should be doing the things you want to do. You want to achieve higher things. You want to have more money. You want to have a better relationship than maybe you have already, right? The lies that Satan uses that aren't necessarily terrible things, but they keep us from laying ourselves down for what God wants, right? It's not about me. It's about him. But that's what our world wants us to believe, is that it's all about me, right? So if you guys know this song and need to be reminded of it, just proclaim the truth this morning that it's okay to trust God with your life because he's got your back. He knows what's best. Amen?
Depths from the heights, I'm a dream, the sand, the
It will be my joy to say your will, your way. Man, that's a hard statement, is it? And it's easy to sing it in the moment, but boy, it's hard to live it, isn't it? Yeah, and sometimes we want to negotiate with God. We want to lay the terms out. Okay, God, this is what I want. Okay, if you do this, I'll do that. You know, that's not what our relationship should be like with God, right? He knows already what you're coming with. He knows your heart. He knows where you're at. The negotiations are just meaningless that we do, right? He wants what's best for us, and sometimes we can't see it in the moment. And sometimes, even though, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, I forget about the moments where I saw his bigness, how big he is, and how he can overcome something. And then in my frustrating moments years later, I forget about those times. I don't know if you're like that. I'm like that. You read the Bible, all those guys were like that too, right? But he wants us to know that he's bigger than whatever's going on. He's bigger than you can even imagine in your moments, right? So you guys know this song. Let's sing it.
You understand me.
waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. There was Jesus. Amen? Even before you knew him, there was Jesus. He's waiting, right? And there was times he certainly kept you from things along the way and saved you from things. And sometimes we make mistakes and fall, and he allows us to go through those things. And even as we come to Christ, there's moments where life crowds him out, but he's still there. And after the fact, oftentimes we see that, right? That's kind of what this song is about by one of my favorite artists, Zach Williams. We do a lot of his songs here, and I love the words of this. So if you don't know it, just take it in. As you get it, sing it. If you do know it, just proclaim the truth that's held in this song. Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand and start to fall, all those lonely roads that I have traveled, there is Jesus. Built can crash into me stand for this last song? And if you can't, that's okay too. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. And certainly, what a powerful name the name of Jesus is. Amen? If only the world could grasp that. Right? So let's sing this out. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God.
Well, guys, I'm so glad that you're here today. You know, we've been doing this series about agape love, and I won't lie to you. This is one of those series where I was going, really, Lord? Like, we talk back and forth. We're very raw with each other. And I kind of said, your love is so vast, your love is so big, and your love is so humbling to me, but to say that I understand it to a place where I can preach it with confidence, that would be taking it to a stretching point. You know what I'm saying? That I am aware of his love, and I receive his love, and I allow his love to flow through me to do the things that I can't do, but try to preach it, woo! That's a big task, right? And so we've been talking about agape love, and here's the foundation of it. It's from Matthew 22, starting to read at verse 37. It's when Jesus is asked, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he goes on to say, the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? This powerful statement, if anybody ever asks you, what is the greatest thing that you can tell me about blah, right? Maybe it's relationships. What's the greatest advice that you could give me about relationships? And you're asking an old-timer that. You better listen to their answer, right? And so Jesus gives us this incredible piece of wisdom. And they say, what is the greatest commandment? Think of all of the commandments that were thrown at people in the Old Testament, right? So many that the law just couldn't be held. They couldn't remember them, so they would write them on parchment and stick them in boxes on their hands and their foreheads, right? And so they say, what of all of those, of all of that great list that is too heavy to bear, what is the greatest? And Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. Seek him. Seek him. He is not hiding. He is Abba Father. His kingdom has come. Seek him. Love him. Love him with all that you have. And when you do that, what happens? We receive his love. We receive his love. And when we receive his love, that means that we can love others. And it starts with self. Why? Because just like Nathan said at the blessing of the bikes, he says, sometimes I hate myself. I'm so glad that God told me and commanded me to love my enemies. That if you would love yourself and see yourselves as God sees you, as children of the King, if you would see yourself with purpose as he designed you, then all of a sudden there would be no self-loathing and you would be useful for the kingdom because then you'd be able to love your neighbor. Think about that. Wow. It's beautiful, and it's the design that God has for you. Instead, too many times in the church, what do? We listen to the enemy's whispers and his lies, and we play with discouragement. And we battle depression, and we don't see ourselves as any good, and we see ourselves as losers and not good enough. And we start to buy the lies that the world tries to sell us, that you have to be thin enough, you have to be strong enough, you have to be pretty enough. Pretty soon, we feel like we're not equipped for anything at all. Oh, church, love yourself. Love yourself and let it heal you, and then you will love your neighbors. And so Kirtland talked about loving our neighbors last week, that this agape love, once we see it, once we chase it, then we will find it. Once we find it, it will flow through us and will heal us. And once it heals us and we love ourselves, then we'll be able to allow it to flow through us and to love our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? The church. We need to love one another, guys. It starts right here. We need to jump in. And Kirtland said it so well. And let me make it a little more harsh. To boil it all down, let me ask you this question today, right? Right? Because sometimes we have pity parties in the church. Woo! We're all adults here today. Or you should have went down to junior church. I'm going to get hard on you, right? Sometimes we have pity parties in the church. Let me ask you a very offensive question. Would anybody in the church notice if you left? Would anybody miss you if you stopped attending? And if you're sitting there and you're going, no. That's what you sound like to me when you do that. Just so you know, right? If you're sitting there going, no, nobody'd miss me. I want you to stop playing the victim. Because Jesus came so that you could live in victory. And stop blaming the church for being unwelcoming and the pastors for not doing their part so that you can fit in. If you are not actively striving to be a part of a loving ministry and a growing fellowship, then you're doing it wrong. So hear me. If you're not participating, chances are you're going to get left behind. And the promise that lets me sleep at night is this, is that if you seek, you will find. So if you're seeking it, you're going to find it. You want to be lonely and you're seeking loneliness? I'm sorry, but I let that go a long time ago. Right? That's harsh, isn't it? Woo! But don't blame others if you're not seeking. And if you're seeking, you're going to find. Right? So if that's you, if you're saying, wow, I don't always feel like I belong in this place, well, then I want you to start here. I want you to look into the mirror. I want you to own it, and I want you to pray for change. You shouldn't have to wait as an adult for somebody to ask your name. You should be asking somebody else's name. Can I get an amen? Ooh, that was weak. That was too late. Right? You shouldn't be waiting for somebody to ask you out for coffee. If you need coffee, you know you should be asking somebody else out for coffee. Amen? Let's stop being the victim. Don't ask the train to slow down. Why don't you try speeding up? You say, well, I'm not coming here no more. Okay. Chances are I might not miss you. Because if that's the attitude you haven't really been effective anyway. And I'm trying to be honest. Woo! Honesty hurts sometimes. I told people at the leadership course yesterday, I said, you should wear your steel-toe boots. And Andrew, God love him, actually wore his steel-toe boots to the first service, right? Right? But I don't mind stepping on your toes sometimes. Is everybody okay? That's harsh. Is everybody okay? We need to stop and pray. Let me pray. I'm going to say this, Lord, if they want to hate me, I can handle that. Let them hate me later so they don't miss the truth of today's message. Amen. Are we good? We need to be loving our neighbor, and it starts in the church. Agape love is big enough for you. Agape love is big enough to love your church. And you know what? We're going to go a step further. Agape love is big enough to love your community. If you've been here for any length of time, shortly after Alice and I got here, I said, Lord, what do we need to do in this place? The church, whoo, she was hurting, and I get it, and I love the bride. And I was going, Lord, what can we do? Like, the thing has been devastated. There was a lot of trust that had been lost. There was kind of a scandalous thing. And I'm kind of going, Lord, will this church survive? And I said, Lord, I gotta trust you with it. If you sent me here to ruin my career and close it, well, then that's praise the Lord. And if you sent me here to revive it, the guy that I know is in the business of bringing dead things to life, so I'm going to trust you with it all. And he said, Andrew, what I want you to do is I want you to love this community. And so we have a mission statement, and you see it on everything that we print. It's out on our sign. You'll see it, and you'll read it often. It says, Digby Wesleyan Church, we love our community. Amen? Right? And there's the deal. And this is the question that I asked the church when I first came here a couple of decades ago. I said, you know what? Would the community notice if we were to shut our doors tomorrow? Would the community even notice? Right? And that was a hard question. That was harsh. That was very bold. And we kind of thought about that for a little while. And I said, you know what? If we were to shut down, then I pray that the community would miss us. But would they? And I think every church in the world should ask that question. If I was to shut down, if we were to shut down today, would the community even notice? Because the community should. And depending upon how we answer that question, right, we should be moved to action. We'll either be moved to continue loving the community because we'll see the greatness of God through our love. We'll see the changes and transformation in the community because of the love of God. Or we'll fall under conviction because we're not loving the way we should, and hopefully we'll be moved to action. Amen? So that question should lead us to moving. You know, and again, if you were at the leadership course yesterday, we shared this quote. It's one of my favorite quotes from Luther. But it's this idea, you know what? It's not about what you do, right? Pastor Joseph said something that was really cool. He said, when we get to heaven, he's going to say, well done, not much done. You understand? Well done, not much done. But if you're going to do something well, then you have to be on the move, amen? And sadly, there's many churches that if they were to shut down tomorrow, I don't think the community would even notice because they don't even know that they're there. And so what did Luther say? He said this. He said, you are saved by faith alone. Saved by faith alone. It's not by your works so that none of you can boast. You're not saved by the things you do. He says, you are saved by faith alone. But if faith is alone, then it's not faith at all. It's by their fruit we shall know them, right? It's this whole idea that if we are truly saved and we truly receive agape love and it truly is flowing through us, then we will be in motion, church. We will be in motion. So let me just give you an example. What would be lost if we were to shut down? Say we decided last week, forget it. We're shutting her down. Everybody's taking a week off. If we had done that, these are the things that would have been missed. First, two Sunday services. Two Sunday services. Now, sometimes you're blessed at Sunday services. Sometimes you're blessed at Bible study. Sometimes you're blessed at youth group. It doesn't matter where the blessing comes from. But all of those things are good things. Amen? And through the Sunday services, think about this. There is worship that happens. Have you enjoyed worship today? I need that. I need it that Saturday night when we practiced, right? We have worship. We have teaching. We have the kids ministry that's going on downstairs right now. Right? Not to mention the sharing and the prayers that go on and the encouragement and the tears and the smiles and the hugs and the handshakes and the planning that happens, right? Right? It's like Mark coming up to me and saying, you know what? I got a task and I want your help. Can we do that this week? And yeah, I haven't forgotten. So you give me a shout and we'll be able to do that. We make plans to enhance one another's lives. We make plans so that we can be a blessing to one another. So that Dave may say, you know what? Hey, I've been kind of down. Who's in here that I trust? Let's get together for coffee and prayer this week. Could we do that? Those plans are made. All of that would be lost if we had chosen to close our doors this week. None of it would have happened. And it's not just those two services. How about Tuesday night? Again, there is worship, there is teaching, there is so many great things that are happening out there in Deep Brook that you wouldn't believe it. And one of the things that I would have missed most would be watermelon. When you say, what in the world is that man talking about? He finally has lost it. No, it's just the way my mind works. For the last month, we have had watermelon. And it's not just normal watermelon where you cut it into slices like pizza. I have found the right way to eat watermelon. You cut it into sticks. I don't know how it's done, but it's amazing. How do I know this? Because Alex, last month, who lives across the road from the church, said, you know what? I'm having a bad day. And he was feeling sorry for himself. And he said, you know what? That church meets every week. I'm going to go see what they're doing, and I'm bringing a watermelon. Woo! And he cut it in sticks, and I was transformed. I said, this is amazing. And he knew that I obviously liked it. And so he's brought watermelon every Tuesday night for a month. And when it's out of season, I am going to be sad, right? And I praise the Lord for the things that are happening on Tuesday night. Think about this. If we had closed our doors this last week, just this week, we had a church member get together with somebody in the community. They took down some trees on their property. They chunked up that wood, and we delivered a trailer to them, and they gave almost 3 cord of wood to Helping Heat, just a member in our church with someone else. While that was happening, just this week, we delivered wood for the whole winter for a widow and her daughter that were going to be cold, and they had no way of solving the problem, and the church came through. They don't come to our church, and that doesn't matter, right? Just this week, we had families who were taking meals to one of our own that was sick, and there were several meals that they were blessed with so that they wouldn't have to worry about preparing for the family. They could just let the family love on each other, and they could work on healing. Just this week, we had a funeral service right here and a reception that wasn't even planned, and people came together. They brought watermelon. They cut it the wrong way. They brought sandwiches. Coffee was put on, water was bought, pop was bought. Someone who couldn't be at the funeral came in early in the morning and blessed me and set up the downstairs by setting up the tables and putting on tablecloths and bringing out flowers and doing a whole bunch of pretty things that I don't know how to do. That was all happening as people were making sandwiches, as people were ordering pizza. While that was happening, we had a little girl who has COVID, and people were there, and they were praying over her. While that was happening, we had another 3 people not involved with the funeral, but are grieving right now in our community, which is why we're probably going to start running Grief Share again this fall. And we had people who love them enough to get together face-to-face with them, 3 different instances, to pray for healing and comfort while they mourn. While that was going on, there was crack fill and paint going on the walls downstairs so that youth could have their very own room this week. While that was happening, the lawn was being mowed. While that was happening, three people that I know of got vegetables from others who have a garden that's overflowing, and I was the recipient of one of them. So on Saturday, when I ran to put on a suit and I realized it's almost 2 o'clock and you haven't even eaten today, you moron, there was fresh tomatoes in my wife's homemade bread, and I had the most delicious tomato sandwich so that I could come back and keep serving at a funeral. There was a brand new couple that came to Tuesday night this week. They were encouraged to attend again this coming week. There was 3 music practices. One for Sunday morning, one for Tuesday night, and one for a funeral that was unexpected. There was slides made for each of those services just this week. There was another church in our community that knew that we were busy. They took some of the pictures from Susan's family. They made a slideshow presentation that we could show during the funeral that I didn't have time to make, but it blessed those who were waiting. We had our missionaries from Japan, Robin and Yoko, come, and we went to dinner with them and encouraged them and found out how things were going in Japan. That was all just this week. We had the leadership course. People were blessed and were challenged. We had the podcast that was edited and posted. We had the website and social media pages being attended to every day, every day. And Friday night, we had youth laughing. Laughing and learning about Jesus. That was this week. And that's the stuff that I know of. There was a whole bunch of coffees, a whole bunch of prayers, a whole bunch of encouragement, a whole bunch of kind deeds that I've never even heard of yet. And I'll have to wait to heaven to find out what else happened this week. But that's the stuff I know of. What if we were to shut down? Every time a local church shuts down, the community loses. How do I know that? Because in this place alone, think of the counseling. Do you know that we do marriage counseling here? Some of you do. Some of you have been a part of it. Some of you are still a part of it. Do you know that there's financial counseling that happens here? Do you know that there's relationship counseling that happens here? Do you know that there's addiction counseling that happens here every week? Do you know that there's parental counseling happens here because some people are having a hard time with their kids? Do you know that there's anger management counseling that happens here? Do you know that we have spiritual counseling here that specifically goes towards breaking the chains of bondage? All of that. That's just the counseling that happens in this place. What if it was to shut down? If it was to shut down, kids' ministries would be gone, youth ministries would be gone, senior ministries would be gone, grief share would be gone, movie nights would be gone, craft sales would be gone, trunk or treat would be gone, journey to Bethlehem would be gone, and on and on and on I could go. Helping Heat would be gone. Do you know that we've already helped several families that just didn't know what they were going to do for Heat this winter? We've already given them their wood for the entire year. And out of those relationships, we've fed several families that we know over the years that we've helped out with wood. Again, we've helped them out with wood, and we helped them out with financial planning, and now they're buying their own wood, but they're still struggling because there's not much left to go on, that we've been able to bless them with food. In just a week, we're going to take some wood out to our friend who lives in the woods who has no electricity and no running water, and he's totally alone, and his family thinks he's gone mad, and nobody is allowed on his property. You know what he said to you, the church? He said, Andrew, anytime that you want to be here, you need to know that you're welcome. The church is welcome. That would be gone. The festivals would struggle. Lobster Bash happened because of you. It did. Because you were willing to give of some time. I think of, you know what, we weren't even supposed to necessarily be involved in Scallop Days. I go down to watch Scallop Days, and what's happening, Neil is right there running the whole shocking competition. And there's members from the church who are giving him a hand. And then on Sunday, after 2 services, you know what I did? I went down to help out at the Woodsman competition so that that would be done well and it would be done right and people would have entertainment. It would be fun. And those fellers and those gals who could participate in that, they would know that they were loved. And I went down there. You know who ran the Woodsman competition? The church. Every one of the volunteers was from the church. So think about this. Some of them help out with our 2 services. So they had been here since 8 o'clock in the morning. At 12 o'clock, they went down there. They gave another 4 hours in the heat doing the competition. Then they went over to Joanne's and helped her out serve dinner and put up tables. And when that was all done, we took them all down and cleaned up the field so Joanne wouldn't be alone. And you know who's better for it? The community. Beautiful, beautiful things that are happening that wouldn't happen if we had shut down. Warfront Rally, you guys put up tents. You guys took down tents. Phil even designed one of their t-shirts. We have kitchen parties that happen here. We help seniors move even when they're not convinced that they're at their forever home. So just so you know, Dave Parker is feeling unrest. Bev is happy. She's calling it home. If Dave has his way, we're going to be moving him somewhere else because he's just not content. And I'm going, that's wonderful that they don't have to think about that at their age, that the church comes together and loves on our seniors, that we pile wood, we move them, we do whatever needs to be done. How about Easter? The Passion of the Christ wouldn't be shown, right? If we shut this place down, our Easter celebrations wouldn't happen. Do you know what it was like being down there when in the field when 7,000 eggs disappeared in 13 minutes? It's the most incredible miracle I'd ever seen. I was like, how in the world does this happen? The community came, and they were loved by the church. This is a confession. It took us longer to pick up goose poop in the field before we hid the eggs than it took for the eggs to disappear with the kids. But what happened there is all of a sudden the kids stayed for hot dogs. And the family started to talk with us, and we started to play some games even after the eggs were all picked up from the teens right down to the little ones. And you know what? The community felt loved. That couldn't happen if we were to shut down. So think about this. I've been logging it this summer. This isn't our regular things. This is you serving the community. You serving the community. You want to know how many hours you guys have served the community, planned community service? This isn't the beautiful things that you do on your own. This is the things that we planned and you guys showed up to and you made happen. We have done 70 hours of community service in the last 2 months, times it by however many came to those particular events. Right? So we had 10 people show up to a cut day. It took 4 hours. You say, well, that's 4 hours of service. Yeah, that's what I charted, but you know what it was? 10 people were there. It's actually 40 hours of service. So the number is way greater than that. I'm only talking about the actual hours. I didn't times it by how many people got involved. It's amazing to me what you guys have done to love our community. Now tell me this, would they miss it if it was gone? So then my question is are you a part of that? Are you a part of serving the community? Because here's the beauty of it. If we pray for people and we're faithful, agape love will lead us to praying with people. Isn't that beautiful? Praying for people will lead to praying with people. That every time you guys drop off cookies to someone who is feeling down, every time you listen to someone who feels like they need to be heard, every time you give a cup of water in Jesus' name, the community is blessed. Are you a part of that? Do you know the joy of serving? And many of you do. But you know what? That the King of Kings showed us the greatest example, that he knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet. And you know what? If agape love can wash our feet, can't we wash the feet of others? Amen? And you know what? We're not doing it alone. I want you guys to know that you guys are rock stars in this community. That people talk about you. Do you know that we have other churches right now that are calling us to try to get volunteers to run their programs? Isn't that weird? Like, I am so sick of the kids over at the Crossing Guard saying, Andrew, is it starting this week? And they're talking about Kids for Christ, right? And I'm like, for weeks I've been saying, no, not this week, but it's coming soon. No, not this week, it's coming soon. And then I had one kid who came up and said, is it this Thursday? And I said, it's never been Thursday. What is wrong with you? And I looked at the parent and said, you need to get him tested, right? And away he went. And then finally this week came. I was able to say, guys, guess what? Guess what? It's next week. It's next week. I'm going to be asked 100 times on Tuesday and Wednesday, is it now? Is it now? Yes, we are starting Kids for Christ. Do you know how much of a rock star you guys are? That the schools know of you. That the churches know of you. That here's a testimony. Do you know that our church comes up often in town council meetings and it's all good, all good, all good. And it's because you are so active and faithful that it comes up all the time. I have a new boss just for a moment doing the crossing guard, right? He says, I'm glad that you two volunteer because Kirtland volunteers as well, and we go down there, and we do get paid for it. We don't get paid enough. We know that, but we want to love the community. And he said, you know what? He said, guys, thank you so much for what you do. And he said, man, you guys, your church comes up all of the time at our meetings. All of the time. Why? Because agape love is flowing through you, and it's falling on everyone who surrounds you. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, right? So let me ask you, are you a part of that? Obviously, a lot of you are. And you know what? If you have been doing for Jesus, I want to remind you that one day the King will say to you, well done, not much done. So there's times when we say we have a need. If you are already giving and loving, you know the joy of that. Don't burn yourself out. Can that be my caution? It says often that Jesus went to lonely places and escaped. Why? Because he didn't want to burn himself out. So yes, thank you for all you do, and many of you do so much. I don't want you to burn yourself out. That's why we didn't have the breakfast for the bikers this year. I knew who helps me with breakfast. I knew that I was tired. I looked at them, and they seemed tired. And I said, guys, we're going to do the blessing. We're going to take a break from the breakfast. Why? Because ministers are more important than the ministry. You do understand that when it comes to our Heavenly Father. So we took a little step back. We took a little break. We needed it. We got our breath. That's wonderful. But my other question is are you involved? Many of you are. Are you? Because you need to understand the joy of serving. You need to understand the joy of giving. Now, let me get real personal. We got 50 kids that come every Wednesday night, and they're excited about it. Even the kid that thinks it's on Thursday. Say an extra prayer for that one, right? 50 kids that come. Very few of them are part of this church, so the numbers would astound you how much of an outreach that is. Most of those kids that come on Wednesday night are from the community. We don't have enough leaders. So let me ask, again, not if you're doing, you're already being a blessing, thank you. But if you're sitting on the sidelines, let me ask you very personally, are you ready to let that ministry die? I'll give you one more example, and that's not to make you feel guilty. If you come under conviction, praise Jesus, right? But I don't even want people that aren't good with kids when it comes to kids. Like, Phil will never work with our kids. Praise Jesus. Why? Because he doesn't have that filter that says times have changed, and he'll smack a stranger. So what do we do with Phil? We keep Phil over there sitting in his chair behind his guitar and everything is safe and the children have nothing to worry about. But if Phil wants to come and help out Wednesday night, no. The answer is no. The answer is no. Why? Because the safety of children is awesome, right? So think about this. This is another one to be personal. You know, and I know not everybody loves Halloween. You guys are awesome. Do you know that last year we gave away 500 candy bags that were full and heavy last year for Halloween? Even if you don't like Halloween, you still gave to it because you understand the purpose of it. You went home and you prayed for my soul. That's fine. I can take it. Right? 500 bags because 500 kids. More kids came to our Halloween celebration than there are in our town, which means they're coming from the outlying areas now. Each year that has grown, but our participation has shrunk. So are those 500 kids important to the church, or are we just going to let it die? What do we ask of you? We ask that you give candy, and you do. But then we ask that you make it exciting for an hour and a half, which will probably incorporate come a little early, half hour to an hour early, so maybe 2.5 hours of your time. What do? You decorate your car.
and you make it look funny or scary or something, and you decorate your body, and then for an hour and a half, you dance like the monkey so that those who drive by can see you, and it's awesome because all that is going on while we illegally shoot off fireworks in the middle of town, and the police and the fire chiefs are totally okay with that. I've had somebody who's already paid for the fireworks that I haven't even bought yet. And I always say, you know what? If we don't shoot them all off, we'll come back and we'll get a refund and you'll get a little bit back. No, they won't. They know that I'm just blowing smoke because when I start blowing things up, it's fun, right? And when you have the town saying, you're not supposed to be blowing things up that day, but for an hour and a half, you just blow things up, Andrew. Andrew is not going to stop. So this exciting event happens. Why in the world is our participation shrinking when the community still needs it? Every one of those packages of candy gets an invitation to Kids for Christ. And those families last year, think about this alone, when the world had shut down the last 2 years and nobody was doing Halloween and people were locking their doors and turning out their lights, we had car after car after car stop on the streets. We shut down this whole street. Victoria Street was shut down. The police come too. They're not even after me this time, right? They come. And what happened? 500 invitations went out in those bags, and parents who rolled down their window had tears in their eyes, and they were crying, and they were saying, thank you for doing something, because nobody else is doing anything. Do we want that to die? Whew, that got pretty heavy, didn't it? It's a fair question. That's all I'm asking. And those of you who are doing, don't overdo it. But those of you who are standing by the sidelines, I'm saying this. You are missing out on the blessing of serving, and you are missing out on agape love flowing through you. And if you would only join in, your world would change along with the community. Are you loving like that? You should be. Our servanthood is legendary. You should be proud of that. And if you aren't a part of that, I hope that you get involved. Matthew 5:16, listen to this. Let your light so shine before men so that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What happens when you love? What happens when you love? People are impacted and they see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you love. Is that enough for you? Because it should be. So then let me ask you again, are you loving? Mother Teresa said this, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. I love that. That's agape love. Small things with great love. That's how the kingdom expands and hell is plundered. Are you a part of it? You know, some of you, you say, wow, that's out of my comfort zone. I'm an introvert. I understand I'm an introvert too. No. So you know what? We're not asking for rocket science. You may not want to dance like a monkey. I have no problem doing that. While I light off fireworks. We had a guy from the community who wondered who in the world was doing that. They came and parked beside us last year. I lit off a firework that was positioned just right that bounced off the overhanging wires and came back down and hit his car, and he left. Talk about exciting! Woo! Right? All of those things are going to happen. Don't you want to be a part of it? And to show you how love can change everything, this is what we're going to do. We have this thing that's going to happen in our region. It's called Love Atlantic. Okay, it's going to be other churches are absolutely available to be a part of it and from other denominations. But every Wesleyan church in the Maritimes is going to participate in Love Atlantic. What are we going to do? We've picked a week to show you that you can love in small ways, but it still does great things. October 2nd to the 8th, we're going to call it Love Week. And what are we doing? That we are going to have papers at the back where you are going to chart everything that you do in kindness, every volunteer act that you do, even if it's only 10 minutes, we want to chart it. You don't need to put your name. It's not about glory. You're not going to get a t-shirt, right? I could buy you t-shirts, but I'm probably not going to. You can have one of my t-shirts. I got some old ones, right? But we want to celebrate that together, okay? So if you come, we're going to have a cut day.
And we're going to calculate it. So if 10 people show up and we spend 4 hours over there cutting wood, well, then it's 4 times 10. That's 40 hours that we put in that week to love our community. If we have deliveries, it's from the time we start loading the trailer to the time the trailer gets back. If you go and take a coffee to a friend who's sick, we want you to chart your time. We want you to chart the $2 that you paid for the coffee plus maybe tip. We want you to bring it in, and we're going to keep track of that. We're going to take up our harvest offering. That's not just your normal offering. That's above and beyond. We're going to give out of our abundance if we have extra, and if you don't worry about that. There's no pressure in that, right? But if you have an extra $20 and you want to put it in our harvest offering, then when we know that there's a family that's in need, that's how we buy groceries for our feller that lives in the woods. That's how we provide for some of these families. That's how we get things done. You may say, Andrew, you know what? God challenged me. I had a neighbor who didn't have a tire, and I had a great tire that would fit his car, and so I paid to have that changed. What we want to do is we want to chart that time and even what it costs, and what we're going to do is an entire district across the Maritimes, we're going to see how much love can make a difference in 1 week, and we're going to celebrate that together. Doesn't that sound amazing? So you can do anything that week, right? What we're trying to show you is that agape love can be very, very small and still have a great, great impact. Some of you will find out that, wow, when I start loving, I like this. When I start loving, I will settle for nothing less. I will spend the rest of my days loving those who are around me, because serving is beautiful. Everybody bow your heads. Some of you are doing so much. I say thank you. I want to pray that you would not grow weary in doing good, but here's what I also want to pray. I want to also pray that you know when to step back and take a breath, okay? Right? We don't work on guilt here. If you have energy to lend, whoo, spend it. Spend it on the King of Kings. Spend it loving your community. If you need to stop and take a breath and have a nap, stop and take a breath and have a nap so that you'll be even better when you come back. You understand what I'm saying? There's no guilt in this. I want to pray for you that have been loving faithfully for 2 decades. You want to know what? Your love is legendary. Never stop, never stop, never stop. Pace yourself. Never stop, never stop, never stop. It's changing Digby County. Thank you. Thank you. And there's some of you who've been saying silly things, and I want you to know that you sound silly. I've put my time in, Andrew. Ooh. If you're done, let Jesus take you home. That may be harsh, but it makes total sense to me. If you have not been loving, maybe because you're broken, then let's pray for healing so that you can be well, because serving is beautiful, and every one of you are called to serve. And if you've just been standing on the sidelines because you think you've put in your time or you don't feel that you have gifts, then let's get back to agape love so that you can learn to love yourself, so that healing can come, so that you'll be useful to the church, because the church is not done, but the church is running out of time. Oh, that you would be part of the solution. And you know what? If this is all new to you, boy, we've got a week even designed for you coming up just next month where we're going to show you how to love. And we're going to pray that you participate. Let's pray. Father God, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for hard truths. I want to say thank you for incredible service. Lord, all that's rolled up into one, Lord. I am so grateful for this place that time and time again rises to the occasion to love on its community. And Lord, is it making a difference? Yes, it's making a difference. People feel loved and are seeing you. Lord, while we hear of some churches that are sadly closing because the pandemic has been so hard on them, Lord, we have seen growing during the pandemic. Lord, it's because giving and serving has been legendary in this place. I pray that you would bless each and every one.
Lord, you'd give them the wisdom to know when to take a break from something so that they can come back even better and stronger. Would we never grow weary in doing good? But Father God, I say all that to say that there are some that are still standing on the sidelines. And who's losing? They're losing. Because the blessings that come with serving are intoxicating. The blessings that follow serving, it's incredible. Father God, I come against selfishness in your name, the powerful name of Jesus, right? I don't want anybody to miss out on love. So Father God, keep challenging us, I pray. I thank you for moments just like this. I'm so glad that we can come to church. We can laugh, we can cry, we can be raw, we can be challenged, we can be encouraged, we can be lifted up. Father God, I pray that all those things have happened today because you are worthy of it all. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Go before us, I pray, and let us love on our community in Jesus' name. Amen.